bombers and or the B, whatever those bombers they used back in World War II. And I think it was on the atomic bomb, and they were talking about how they had this huge checklist of everything they had to go through, pre-flight checklist is what they called it. And of course, it was a lot longer than my little putting on my microphone, get my Bible, setting up the recorder. You know, it's kind of what I feel like sometimes when I come up here. I got my flight checklist or preaching checklist I gotta do before I get up here. I almost forgot my notes. You know. But it's good to see y'all this morning. The music's sounding good. I don't know. It's kind of neat when you start incorporating other instruments. I think it's neat. You know, when you look at music in the Bible, and this is a whole different sermon that I'd be excited to preach one day. But when you look at music in the Bible, especially in Psalms, man, there's all kinds of instruments they got, you know, playing in there. And I think it's neat when you start bringing out other instruments and stuff. And so I appreciate the choir and all the singing they do and the music. But we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 25 today. Matthew 25. And I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons based on your gifts, if that makes sense. And you can say gifts, you can call them talents, you can call them really whatever you want to call them. But, you know, I'll just call them talents or gifts. You know, if you hear me call it that, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to start from Matthew 25. And it'll be in verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, as we come to you in prayer, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for just all your blessings, Lord, your faithfulness to lead and guide, and your faithfulness, Lord, to do what you say you're going to do, Father. If we do this, then you provide blessing, Father, and you also not only provide a blessing, Lord, but provide a way to follow in your footsteps, Lord, and the things you want us to do. Bless your sermon today, Lord. Bless your word to our hearts, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're looking here, what we're seeing is we're seeing this man traveling to a far country, and this is a parable. Just a brief, what a parable actually is, it's if I want to teach somebody how to walk through the back doors in the back, right? The easiest way for me, in my mind, would be to say, hey, you know, if you want to walk through the doors, just go put your arm out there and walk through them, right? But another person could come in with a parable and say, you know what, to teach somebody to walk through a door, through an obstacle, he could tell a story about how he used to walk through the woods, right? And there's sometimes when I'd be walking down through the woods, or there'd be branches in the path, and I just kind of have to push them out of the way. And some people would look at that and say, aren't you teaching about walking through doors? Yeah, but I'm also basically teaching you how to push things out of your way if you want to continue on your path. But he used basically a parable, if you want to call that, to make the point of when you want to walk through the doors, make sure you stick your arm out and not, you know, just instead of hitting it with your forehead, trying to go straight through. You know, so a parable is basically, it's a different story to make the same point, if that makes sense. That's kind of what a parable is here. And as we look at this parable, we see this man, he's traveling to a far country, right? He's traveling to a far country, and he's going to leave some servants there in his place. And to kind of really just jump into what is going on here, this man in the country, the representation of Jesus, he traveled to a far country, right? So he travels to a far country, and he leaves some servants there to do his work. And that's kind of what this parable is saying. And it said, as we look through here, we see some of these servants that were given 5 talents according to their ability, the Bible says. There in verse 15, it says, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Now keep that in mind. That's a very important thing. He gave them talents according to their own ability, right? If he looked at this guy over here and he didn't think he would be able to manage 10 talents, he didn't give him 10 talents, did he? And say, use them all. You know, use all these talents up, you know, or 5 talents. He didn't expect him to use all of them, right? But he looked at him and said, you know what? In my own judgment, I think this person over here can probably handle 5 talents or 2 talents or 1. So I'm not going to, just like we see in the Bible, he's not going to give them more than they can bear, right? He's going to give them something that they have the ability to manage, if that makes sense. So he gave them all these talents. We have one servant. Verse 20 says he received 5 talents and came and brought 5 more. And he told his Lord, hey, look, I got 5 more talents. And then the Lord said, hey, you know, you did good. Well done. There in verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. So one of these things, these talents are not just something that the Lord gave him, if you will, but it's also something he said, let me test your ability in using these things. He said, I can see your current ability. I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. And he said, once he saw that he could handle the 5 talents and multiply them, what'd he say? I'm going to give you a lot more, right? Now, I saw that you could handle these things. I'm going to give you a lot more stuff, right? So verse 22 says, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here is what I have. And then he dug it back up, said, here's the talent that you gave me. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I would not have sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own interest. So it's interesting. The servant here, he already knew the mentality of the master, if you will. He already knew that the master liked to reap and he liked to gain where he didn't sow, basically. Where you didn't scatter seed, I know you like to also be able to gain in that area. And basically it's like saying, I know the farmer out here likes to gain from his own fields, but he also has a business in town that someone else manages. Right, so you didn't scatter seed over here, but we know you like to be able to gain when you can in other areas. So the servant already knew the mentality of the master. What did he do? He didn't do anything about it. He still went and hid his talent in the ground. You know, he took the means, if you will, by which the master or the Lord was going to gain, and he hid it in the ground. He said, and then verse 27 says, what you ought to have done if you weren't going to take the talents and do anything with them, you should have taken it to the bank. You know, that at least it would have gained interest, right? Verse 28 says, so take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. And don't confuse that verse with the poor. We're not talking about rich people and poor people here, right? So don't confuse that verse with the rich and poor. If you're poor, God's going to continue to take it all away, right? Verse 30 says, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right. So as we get through this parable, it can sound pretty harsh. Right. It can sound pretty harsh. But you know, here's the parable we got, and I'm gonna tell you what this parable isn't teaching, because a lot of times I've heard parables taught in so many different ways that make your head spin. Right. But one thing I do know this parable is not teaching, and this is one I've heard this parable taught in a way that has almost enslaved, if you will, that maybe that's a strong word, but really made people think that if they didn't go out there and win souls and lead people to Christ, they were going to go to hell. I've heard it taught that way. I mean, that scared me to death when I was a little kid. Like, what in the world? You know, I must be doing something really wrong. I've not led 100 people to the Lord in salvation. You know, hey, you know, what do I need to do? I'd try and try. I remember witnessing and door knocking, you know, because that's what the church did, and nothing ever happened. And I thought I was just the worst person ever, because I can't speak as eloquently as this other person to lead people to Christ. So surely I must be living in sin. Right, that's what I was thinking as a young, you know, little kid, young man. But I'll tell you that that's not what it's teaching at all. What is the basis of this parable? It's business transactions, really. It's taking what the Lord has given you and multiplying it. That's basically what it is. All right. So, and the reason it does not teach about the salvation thing in 1 John 15:1-2, the Bible says, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser." Are we the vine dresser? Can we add more vines and more branches? No, we can't do that. That'd be impossible. If I went up to my grapevine over there and I started telling my grapevine, I'm going to cut this grapevine out because this one little branch here is not producing anything. I'm going to cut the whole thing out. That wouldn't make any sense, right? Who's it up to make that vine grow? It's up to the vine dresser, right? It's up to the vine and all that stuff. It says, "My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Now, what is it saying there? If you're not bearing fruit, the Lord's going to prune it. That doesn't mean he's going to cut it back. If it doesn't mean he's, whenever you go out, I was telling my boys about pruning trees the other day, and we had some big branches coming out, you know, into the yard where we want to mow. And I was trying to tell my sons, like, you know, as a tree grows, you cut these things back so it doesn't grow the way you want it. So it grows the way you want it to grow, right? If you want your tree to grow tall, then cut all the bottom branches off. It'll grow a little bit taller and you won't have to worry about branches getting out in the yard. Y'all know this. I was telling them that. Y'all are in the country here. Y'all probably know, obviously, more than I do about it. But sir, that's why I was cutting some of the branches back. It's like, oh, okay. So now it wasn't in our area where we didn't want it. And it's the same thing. You know, as we grow in the Lord, guess what? There's going to be times of pain. Why? Because the Lord's pruning in areas, right? I know some of y'all that Horace there, you know, he comes in with his oxygen tank. I guarantee you that he's got more sympathy for other people that drag oxygen tanks around than he did before. That's just nature. And when God does that, the Lord looks at it and says, you know, Horace, you need some more sympathy for people that maybe drag oxygen or have sickness as me. I don't know what the Lord's purpose was. I'm just kind of using an example. But then the Lord says, you know, so I'm going to give you this ailment so you get some better understanding. You know, that's a pruning, if you will, because you need to grow in this area, but maybe not so much in another area. And that's just an example. You know, I don't know exactly what the Lord's taught Horace about that, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes something bad will happen to you, and that's just the Lord's way of pruning you back a little bit so you have more sympathy or maybe you're more sensitive to another area. Right, so that's just what it's saying here. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7 says, I planted, and this is Paul speaking, I planted, Apollos watered. Right, but it says God gave the increase. So when we talk about lost souls, we talk about God giving the increase. We talk about church growth. Yes, there's things that we can do to help grow the church, if you will. There's things that we can do to love one another. Right, there's things we can invite people to church. But in the long run, you're not the one dragging the person here to church, are you? You didn't put a leash around their neck or a chain on their ankle and said, on Sunday, I'm going to come drag you to church. And that's how we're going to grow. That's not what happens. They come of their own volition, don't they? They come of their own. They make the decision, right, to come to church. And where does that stem from? It maybe stemmed from the fruit that we had, right? But that ultimately it came from God, right? Because it says God gave the increase. We don't want to ever get in the habit of thinking because the church grew that we're the ones responsible for it. That's a dangerous place to be because pride can really come from that area. Right? You say, well, look at those big old churches of thousands of people. And I'll tell you what, just because a church has a lot of people doesn't mean it's healthy. Right? I'm just keep that in mind. Right? But God gives the increase. Never get prideful and think that because of what I did or what you did or you know, because I scrubbed the carpets extra clean, that's going to make people, you know, all know what I'm talking about. Right? Without going to extremes. Right? We've got a clean place. But don't think that because the church is really growing, it's because of something we did. God just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to use this person. I've heard preachers that, man, they could preach the paint off the walls and just leave everybody feeling like they're floating out of a building. And their congregation is 20, 30 people. But I've heard guys that are the worst teachers I've ever heard twist the scripture left and right. And guess what? Thousands of people in their church. Right? So don't think, right? It's God that gives the increase. Acts chapter 2 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their church daily. Here we see again the Lord added to the church. Right? So look at this parable, it's not about getting people saved. Is it about witnessing? Yeah, it can be. Right? It can be about witnessing. It can be about all kinds of things. But ultimately, it's not up to you whether somebody gets saved or not. That's the Lord's work. Let him worry about that. We'll take the message out. You let the Lord worry about the rest of that. Right? We don't have that much responsibility to make sure someone gets saved. We can pray, we can witness, we can maintain a good testimony, but that's about it. Let the Lord do the saving. Don't worry about all that other part, right? So if we thought this was saying, if you don't lead people to Christ, you were somehow in the wrong, then you know, we got to get that out of our minds, because what this parable is teaching is things that the Lord's given us and how we use it. All right, so let's talk about what this parable is teaching. So again, we're talking about this man traveling from a far country, right? He's traveling from a far country, he's got servants. And I'm looking at my time here. We need a clock in the back so I can keep track of time for y'all. I put a password on my phone because Ariel was good night. I don't know what in the world. She was downloading all these little different games and stuff, and I had to put a password on it so I don't find my phone full of stuff. So anyway, here we are. So what this parable is teaching, you know, the master has all these servants, right? Now let's look at that in our, we're all servants of the Lord, right? Hopefully everybody here is a servant of God, right? We're all servants. The Lord has looked at us, and this is, like I said, this is a series, and we're going to touch more next week and the following weeks on what the gifts and talents actually are. But this week, we're going to look at, hey, just this is what the Lord's given us. The Lord's each given us each talents. That's just the bottom line. Stephanie's different than I am. Phil's different than me. I'm different than CD over here. Dwayne's different. Everybody here is different. We're not just a robot. We're not a carbon copy one of another. God didn't say, I want robots to follow me because then I can program them to do what they want. There's something special about a relationship between a husband and wife in this country, I'll say, in most countries, right? Why? Because what does a man have to do? He has to go out and win his wife, win her love. Maybe she already loves him, and it makes it a lot easier. But other than that, but then what do you do, man? In your relationship and marriage, guess what? There's ups and downs. You didn't just go and write a computer program and say, you know, my wife is going to love me on Monday through Thursday, and then Saturdays we're going to have arguments, and Sundays we're okay again. You know, that's not how it is. There's a give and take. And one thing that I think it's neat, as being created in the image of God, guess what? We were made to love God in a sense, but we also have the choice to not. So why does that make our relationship with God special? Because we choose to love Him back. He loves us. Of course He loves us. My goodness, of all the crazy things that we've done, but He still loves us, guess what? That should make us want to love Him back of our own free will, if that makes sense. That's what makes that relationship between us and God special, because we love Him back. It's not like the angels when they don't really have a choice, if that makes sense. They do, but they don't. And that's a whole different study, but let's not go too deep in that. But angels, they will follow God, and they were created in that, if that makes sense. They were created in the light of God. They were created in heaven, if you will. That's what they've always known. But here, us as humans, we get to see both sides of the coin, and we can still choose to love God. And that makes that relationship special. Just like when you get married, your wife can choose to love somebody else, can't she? Or your girlfriend, let's say you were dating at that time, they can choose to love somebody else. But what makes that relationship special between a husband and wife is that the wife, you go ahead and choose, they choose to love one another amidst all the circumstances. It's the same thing with church and Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus, in the Bible, they compare the bride and the bridegroom, right? It's a comparative relationship between Christ and His church. We choose to love Christ. Man, that's such a neat relationship. It's not that we're forced to. We're not programmed to, and we don't have any other choice but to love. It's not like that. We choose to love God. Man, it makes that relationship special. So when the Lord gives us these talents, you know, we're to use them for Him. That's what it's talking about. You know, these men, they wanted to please their master. So what they do, they said, look, and they were excited, right? Let's look at that again. It says, we can look at the guy with the five talents. He says, verse 20 says, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me five talents. Look, I have gained five more. This guy's excited. Look what I've done. You know, when we do stuff for the Lord, it should also excite us. Lord, look what I've been able to do today with your power, of course, not in my own power, but with your power and with your guidance. Look what I've been able to do. The Bible says we're to be like children with Christ. You know, I remember when my kids, man, they'll come up and show me all kinds of stuff. I've been dabbling a little bit of old school blacksmithing, you know, with a hammer and a little brick forge there in the carport, you know, just for fun. And Nathan, guess what? Nathan's going out, and of course, he's not doing the fire by himself, but he'll go out and get sticks and a little one-pound hammer, and there's a concrete slab in the backyard, and he'll go out there and start pounding on those little sticks. And he'll tell me, I broke down a lot of sticks today, and, you know, he's bragging about it, and, you know, I think that's cool. Well, hey, good job, you know. Good job, you know, a little bit of stuff, and they'll tell me all kinds of things that they've done. I've chopped down some branches or whatever, and, you know, of course, as a dad, I'm pleased to hear that. God's in the same way. God knows. I can look out the window and see what Nathan's been doing, right? Obviously, he's not just out there running around, you know, with no supervision, of course, but I can see what he's doing. He doesn't have to come tell me because I know what Nathan's done. Right, I know what Nathan's done out there. He doesn't have to come tell me, but I enjoy his excitement. Hey, Dad, look what I did today. Look what I got to do. Taking out the dogs, you know, or whatever they're doing. You know, we did this, we did that. You know, well, good. You know, I knew that, but it's also a joy for me to hear. And if you believe that we're made in the image of Christ, there's some things you have to say, you know what? I bet God likes to hear that kind of stuff too. Why? We're made in the image of Christ. There's a lot more about us that's like God than we think. Right? We're made in the image of God. So what else? If we like to hear our kids tell us stuff, guess what? God probably does too. God probably loves kids more than we do, to be honest with you. The Bible at least says that He does. So, you know, God's excited about that. Lord, you know, we had a good time in choir tonight. You know, I got the lead and I got to do all that stuff. Thank you, Lord, for providing that opportunity, right? And you can use that with anything. You know, I enjoyed cooking over at the fellowship hall tonight. You know what a good time that was. The Lord likes hearing about that stuff. You know, just tell the Lord. That's part of that praying without ceasing. How in the world can I pray without ceasing, people will ask. Well, tell the Lord what you've done today. There's nothing wrong with that if you feel like it, you know, and it's, man, you want to draw closer to God, get in the habit of talking to Him all the time, right? So we see these five talents, you know, and these men are doing all this stuff with them. The key that we need to see here too is when we see these talents, it's not like the Lord said, the Lord of this of these servants here said, hey, what I need you to do is go out there and make $10 and I'll be back in a week. And then He just left them. He didn't do that, did He? Right? He gave them the means to gain more talents, didn't he? He didn't just leave them out there in the middle of nowhere and say, okay, you know, drop you off like a school bus drops off the kids with no books and go in there and learn about mathematics. But, you know, I'm not going to give you pencils or paper or even a teacher. But by the time I come back, you better learn some algebra, right? That's not how it worked. They give them the means to learn. They give them the means to increase their learning, right? The Lord does the same here with these servants. He gave them a means to increase what they had. He wanted them to use their talents for their benefit. And it even says that at the end of this parable, it says the servant already knew that the Lord liked to gain where he wasn't able to scatter seed and all this stuff. He already knew what the Lord's intent was. But he said, you know, I didn't want to do it, that unfaithful servant. So the Lord gave us a means, if you will, to multiply our talents. Now let's look at that. Let's look at some talents that we can see. One of these talents I do see is Charles. He's out there orchestrating, building the deck out there. Right? And I thought that was kind of neat. Man, they got that thing built really fast. But guess what? He's out there orchestrating. I think that's a talent. To be able to orchestrate people, to be able to organize people. It's one of those things that personally I think I could do. But when you see other people can really do it really well, man, you just let them at it. Hey, go on with it. That's your talent. That's your gifting. And how was that talent multiplied? Well, guess what? It brought other people together. And here we all, here they are, all working on the deck. It wasn't just one person that had that talent to do construction, if you will, and organize others. Now that talent has been multiplied from one person to maybe 5 or 6 or 10 into that one work. And that's what this is talking about here. The Lord can look at that and say, hey, well done, Charles. Not only did you just get that deck built, but you also invited others to be able to share in that blessing. You know, to be able to share in the blessing of serving, if you will, right? So that's kind of the point here. We got others with music, right? Goodness, I've seen, my wife's had to prove this to me. You know, music, what a powerful thing it was. You know, and I've seen people come to her about music and that I never, ever would have thought would be interested in music ever. You know, I just want to let you, I think it'd be kind of fun to do music. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? You know, she's using her talents for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, other people are, it's like contagious somehow. Now, that's not to say everybody needs to come do music. No, but there's something in people that God will place there to be able to use for him. There's some things that you never would have thought. Before I surrendered to preach, I never wanted to preach. I never wanted to teach anybody anything. Don't bother me. I'd rather sit in the back there and mind my own business, you know, just maybe doodle with the pencil or whatever. That's what I'd rather be doing. But as I grew in Christ and as I got to know the different talents, if you will, that he's given me and got to see how he's equipped me, as I started using those talents, guess what? I started finding a lot of joy in it. Man, I actually kind of enjoy doing this. And that's one thing about the talents that you have that the Lord's given you. You're going to find some kind of joy in it. Are there going to be trials and times? Yeah, of course. There's always trials and tests and every single thing we can do in life, especially the things we do for the Lord. But at the same time, if you have a talent and you start using it for the Lord, man, he's going to bless it somehow. And you're going to find joy in it. Even if your talent only multiplies you by one, let's say the guy with two talents, he only got two more. But it's not the point that he only gained two. I know in our society of setting goals and you're successful if you gain a lot, you know, we can sometimes confuse this. But what was the Lord here happy with? He was happy that these servants took their talents and multiplied them. He didn't care if it was two talents. You know, this servant over here only got two talents, so he's not going to get a good pat on the back. You know, but this servant over here gained five. He's really going to, that's not the way the Lord's looking at it. He's looking and saying, you use your talents and they multiplied. Guess what? Good job. That's what the Lord's saying. He gained five. He gained two. You can extend the story if you really wanted to, the parable. He gained 20. He gained only one. But every single, because they gained, if you will, that's the point. The Lord pat him on the back and said, hey, well done. Well done. You did really good. And it's not the amount, right? We got to, in our mindset, man, just forget about that. When we lived in Peru, you know, third world country, way up there in the Andes Mountains, one thing that was interesting I saw is we in church, we had a guy that was a you know, banker, a very prominent banking man in town, very rich. Everybody knew who this guy was. I mean, I'd walk down the street with him, you know, in a place where there's not many cars, and everybody's saying, hey, how you doing? Good morning. Good morning. Everybody knew who he was. Right. And then you had the other guy that basically what he did was he drove a little three wheeled taxi all around town. That's how he gained his money in coins. They pay him in coins. Right. And this was interesting testimony to kind of brag on this guy. Every Saturday he would work. Everything he gained on Saturday, he would put in the offering on Sunday. It's kind of neat. It was neat to see that. He didn't care. He told the Lord, everything I gain on Saturday is going in the offering plate on Sunday. And that's what he did. But he was a very poor man. Right. Now, I've told you all before, some of the poor people there, they would cut up old tires, you know, to use for shoes and make straps and stuff like that. Well, that's how he was. But you know, when they all came together in church, you saw this mutual respect between everybody. Why? Because it wasn't about how much each person had. It was about that the person worked. But it, man, God forbid that there was a man in the church that was lazy. They wouldn't hear the end of it. I'm telling you what, my goodness. People in the church, especially if he's a member, he would never hear the end of it. It didn't matter if he had a lot of money. If he was lazy and just didn't do anything, man, I tell you what, men in the church would berate him. They'd just scold him, if you will, up one side and down the other. But if they knew he was working, didn't matter how much money he had, there was a neat mutual respect between everybody. They were just a neat thing. Didn't matter how much they had. Yeah, he's a worker. You know, he's to be valued. He contributes. He supports his family and all this stuff. Man, what a valuable thing that is. And that's the mentality. And like I said, sadly in our country many times, and I haven't seen so much in the country. But this is definitely something you see more in the city. You get city folk, they'll go into church with real nice clothes, and there's just something different about them. People treat them differently, and I hate it. Oh, my goodness, I don't like it. All right, just treat them the same as somebody else, you know. They're a person just like me. It's not special, right? God made me. God, just like he made him, right? He might be better looking than me, but, you know, I could still do other things, right? But, you know, the point is, it's not the amount that we have. Forget, let that stuff fall by the wayside. Why? Because one day we're all going to have a mansion anyway. It don't matter, right? Your mansion's not going to be bigger than mine. It's just going to be different. That's the way I look at it, right? Even if it is bigger, in heaven, we're not going to care, right? Some people might not even want a mansion. Their idea of a mansion is having a tent, if you're a little log cabin out there by a lake somewhere. Maybe, Lord, that's how he's prepared your mansion, right? And really stocked it with a bunch of fish so you can fish all day. You know, I don't know. But, you know, sometimes our mansions might be different. But, you know, all in all that, you know, don't worry about how much you gain. That's not the point. The Lord gives the increase, the Bible says. But what is our job? Our job is to use our gifts for him. Use our talents for him. If you can talk really well to people, talk to people. Some people love talking. They love to hear a friendly voice every now and again. If that's not your skill, then pray for them. I don't know. Do something else. Bring in vegetables. I don't know. You can use your imagination when it comes to talents, right? Grant brought us a bunch of vegetables the other day. Man, we ate those things up. Melons were really good, and everything was good. And some of Donnie brought us vegetables. Y'all are bringing the vegetables. They're all good, you know? And I believe if you have that talent to, I don't know what y'all are going to do next year when we start our own garden, because we're going to have one too. So you can bring vegetables. I don't know. We've eaten a lot of vegetables. But
I was just
bumming off to eat. Yeah. So, I mean, it's so appreciated. You know, it is. And that's the thing. That's using your gifts for the Lord. Using what God's given you for his service. Right? Well, that's my notes. So what I want us to be thinking about this week as we go, and we're going to break these talents down, and we're going to break these giftings down to a more basic level before we grow them into specific stuff like music or being an usher or whatever it could be. Right, we'll talk about that stuff towards the end. But next week, we're gonna talk about some very basic talents, if you will, giftings that the Lord has given everybody. And I can whet your appetite, if you will. If you ever, I don't read horoscopes. I think they're silly. Right? There's an oddness. I'm not gonna talk about horoscopes too much. Y'all have seen them in the newspaper. But there's a biblical horoscope out there. If you want to look at it that way, right? There's something in the Bible that really comes. It really talks about who people are. And if you can attach one of these seven things, and it comes from Romans 12, if you can attach one or two of these things to each person you know, you can almost pinpoint their personality. I mean, I can know that Deb is an administrator, as what the Bible says, because I've just seen some of the things she does, and that gives me a light to what kind of person she is. And it's easier for me because my wife's that way. So I was like, well, if she's an administrative type personality, then there's different nuances about the personality that you can get to know before you even really know them, if that makes sense, right? If I know that Dwayne over here is a servant, right, according to Romans 12, there's certain things I know about his personality just because I know he's a servant. Right? It's like, hey, that's kind of neat. He's a servant. So I know he's going to like doing these kind of things. He's not going to like this. He's going to like it when this happens or when this happens, you know. And so that's kind of what the study next week is going to be, getting into the giftings. And you know, as we go along, we're going to do a little makeshift little test there, so basic, you know, see what kind of giftings you have. And it's really interesting. And I remember when I was turned on to this, man, I was blown away. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is the coolest thing ever. And I still use it, you know, daily, if you will, to get to know people. And so as we get to know, hopefully you'll all be excited about this. It's from Romans 12. But be thinking this week, you know, what kind of talents do you have? You know, what kind of giftings? How can you use the different talents you have for the Lord? You know, working on cars, you know, how can I use working on cars for the Lord? You can pray over a car when it comes into your thing. The Lord, don't let this thing break down too soon. There's a way to use your talent for the Lord, right? I mean, it's just simple ways. Anyway, I'm already starting off on the next week. So, but anyway, that's part one, if you will, of using your talents for the Lord. Hopefully I'll be back next week to see the continuation of it. But if you can't, for some reason, we're building off of Romans chapter 12 there. And you can see there's seven talents, or seven giftings, if you will, that the Lord gives each person, if you will, for their personality, and then just builds on that. It's very interesting. So let's go ahead and pray, and we will have a verse of invitation. Dear Lord, as we come to you in prayer, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for just everyone here today, Father. And I pray, Father, that you'll just be with me, Lord, as I teach. Lord, I pray that you'll help me teach in a way, Father, that can be understood, Lord, that can be heard. And I pray, Lord, that you'll fill in the gaps. Father, if I forget the way you want me to teach and I start going a different direction, Lord, you'll fill in the gaps. Father, just help us understand and see what the main point is that you want us to see for every sermon. Lord, bless everyone today, Lord. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.